Is it okay? Okay. So I have the difficult task of showing what happened last year from the last conference in Denmark we had. And I will show some new features from starting from 2.10 up to 2.16. So 2.14 will be the next LTE release, the long-term release. And but I also couldn't resist showing some of the very nice features we will have in 2.16. How can I? Is this the one? Two. Ah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I really, because I, of course, in 20 minutes I cannot show all the improvements. I selected some of them, also subjectively. But I really invite you to, for every new QGIS release, to consult the visual change logs, because it's a really nice listing of what happened. You get a nice screenshots, explanations, and maybe. Even before it ends up in the QGIS manual, you can see it in the change log, because the manual will take longer time to catch up with the new improvements. I will start with an improvement you will all notice, which was introduced in 2.12, is that you have a start screen with the recent project. There you can see a preview rendering, which is generated when you save the project the last time. And it will list all your recent ones. Quite nice. I won't read all the new expressions that were introduced, but I'm really a big fan of the expression engine, because it's so powerful. And in 2.12, and then with every other release, with 2.14, 2.16, we will have new expressions. And for example, the 2.12 and 2.14 ones were quite inspired by the need for the 2.5D rendering. So here you could change geometry on the fly, like in 2.14. You could extract geometry from features, certain parts, or you could extrude things and generate new geometry on the fly from some existing data. In 2.16, we will have a nice feature called aggregate. Expressions and relation aggregate, which means when you want to know the count or sum or the average mean and many other statistical features from a set of filtered features, you can do so now. It's similar to what you can do in SQL, but the syntax is slightly different. And the relation aggregate is quite useful for summarizing aggregates from other tables that are linked to your main feature. This will be quite useful also for Print Composer, for datasheet production. I should mention, of course, QGIS builds a lot of on other open source software. GDAL OGI is very key for our project. Starting with 2.14, the Windows version ships with GDAL 2X, so the new GDAL version, which comes with a lot of improvements. We have better geopackage support. We have better support for data providers that also support curves, circular arcs. And many people always ask for the spreadsheet support, LibreOffice, Excel. Can I save in Excel? Yes, with 2.14 you can. Previously, we told people, okay, you need to save a CSV. Oh, I need Excel. So they are not so happy with CSV before, but now they can directly write Excel or LibreOffice by cheat. And of course, this also helps in processing. You can use more formats now in processing as well. In 2.16, you can, if you save to spreadsheet or CSV or some other formats, you can save also the display value of attributes. Imagine if you have a code list, like 0 equals some text, 1 equals some other text. And previously, if you exported that to a spreadsheet, you you got the numeric code and not the human readable values. And now with 216, you can change to the display value, also for localized dates or Boolean values, wouldn't export as true false, but as yes, no, or something more readable. PostGIS provider has improvements in every version. For example, there's performance improvements. The Postgres provider tries to filter more and more in the database on the server side before sending it to the QGIS client. This helps to save a lot of download time from the database server. And a very nice feature is transaction groups. This is pretty fresh and needs more testing, but it will help if you edit several tables at once. Previously, you had to tick for every table, start editing. If you have 15 linked tables, it's very time consuming and not very user friendly. But with the transaction groups, you can start editing, and all the relation tables will also be set into the edit mode. And you can commit them all at once and roll back all at once. But it's a new feature and needs more testing. But it will be quite powerful. There will be lots of improvements in the WFS client in 2.16. Previously, it only supported 1.1 WFS, but now there's lots of improvements. I won't read them all, but there's a local cache in Spatial Light. You can have a download in the background and progressive rendering, and it's much better for filtering data on the server side as well. So this also is a new feature, and of course will need your testing as well. Was already mentioned that the DXF export improvements, that's an ongoing improvement starting from 2.8 until the 2.14, and it's quite nice. It doesn't support everything, because DXF cannot handle many of the symbology options that QGIS has, but for the specific need of exporting like utility networks, for example, gas, water, electricity, and so on, with the associated labeling, it works quite well, and has a lot of features like you can select visibility presets, combinations of layers. It automatically changes the SVG symbols into DXF blocks and so on. And there's an ongoing effort to also read cut data in a future version. It won't be in 2.16, but in either 3.0 or 2.18, whatever comes next. And I'm also looking forward to that one. This is an example showing on the left the rendering in QGIS, on the right the rendering in AutoCAD. There's a new geometry model. It was introduced in 2.10, but you could only start using it in 2.12.14. It means geometry can have circular arcs. You can also have 3D values in geometry. It doesn't display them, but you can store them and edit them. And there's also support for M values from linear referencing systems. And I'm looking forward to even further improvements. For example, in the curve support, there could be more improvements to also support it for derived geometries, maybe in analysis in the future. In the attribute table, there's a neat new feature that you have conditional formatting, so you can set rules on columns, and if the rule applies, you can have different background colors in the attribute table. For example, if something is missing or exceeding a certain range, you can label that with a different background color. And in 2.16, you will also be able to reorder attribute columns in the table or hide specific columns. And there's a special new column called the actions column, you can have for each record a button and have selected actions like opening a data sheet or do some calculations with the features based on a button. One other nice feature is statistic summary panel. So for every table in QGIS, you can have the statistics values, counting values, mean, max, min, average, several other parameters like the Q1, Q3 value, whatever. Now I will switch to some improvements in the symbology and labeling. So starting with 2.10, we have live layer effects. So you could do a drop shadow, glow or blur of objects. So every vector object can have on the fly vector effect. You could do things like here, like the shadow behind the buildings or the streets. Also in 2.10 was the new improvement for the graduated renderer. You could see the histogram and you can interactively change the boundary values of the threshold values of the different classes. A very nice feature is the size assistant. This works to scale symbols and also stroke width in 2.14. And here you can actually, it will analyze your data, show you the min max values, and you could set the minimum size for the min value and the maximum size for the max value, and then you can select different methods for scaling it based on area, on radius, on Flannery method. And it also generates some legends. Legends could be even more improved, I think, but at least you get some. And quite useful as a combination with the size assistant is that we now have more simple marker types. So for example, you could have a half circle or a quarter circle. And with the size assistant, you can scale each quarter circle separately on each symbol. And for example, here we have commuter values. The red quarter circle is commuters for work. The green one is for education. And so on, leisure activities and so on. So it shows how powerful QGIS is by using size assistance expressions and all the combinations with symbol levels that you can do. 2.5D rendering, this is the screenshot for how you can do the settings. I don't go into details because there's some complex stuff behind it, but I show some of the results from France, from a city. And the nice thing is you can combine it with the classification methods for example, color the buildings, the extruded buildings different by building type or stuff like that. Or you could do things like this. So each country has a grid system with hex bins. And then you extrude it by some attribute value. One of my new favorite features in 2.16 is the arrow renderer. And here you can, based on 3 points, you can define a curve, a circular curve. So the start point, a circular point, and end point. And then you can it will automatically draw the arrowhead, and you can also combine it with all these fill types you have in QGIS. So any fill type can be also applied to the arrow renderer. You can do things like this, combine it with shadow effects, or even apply a gradient to an arrow, or the shape burst fill type that we have. That one is also a nice improvement of 2.16, the interactive gradient editor. which is, was much improved to the version before that we had, and is more in line with what you are used to from graphic software like Adobe or Corel or whatever. That was one of the complaints we get sometimes, is why don't you behave like all the others, like the conventions in graphic software, and I think we are getting better at this. In the Print Composer, many of the shortcuts are now aligned with other graphic software, and also the stuff like this, the gradient editor is much more user-friendly now. Switching to labels, of course, rule-based labels, everyone was waiting for that. And previously, you could do a lot with the data-defined label properties, but it was a bit cumbersome if you wanted to have different categories of label types, and it was not easy to see all the different settings you did. This rule-based labeling is much easier and more useful, I think. I don't go into details with all the label improvements. I skipped that slide, but I show, for example, here you can see that the distance from the symbol center is not based on a center, but from the bounding box of the symbol. So you don't have to calculate separately how far away it should be from the center. That's a nice feature as well. One of my favorites in 2016 is the feature developed by Nathan in Australia, map styling and labeling doc. Previously, you always had to open the layer properties, and then you had to press apply or OK, move the dialog out of your way, and then you could see the difference. And now it's much better. You have a little button here to open a dock, and the dock is non-blocking, so you can open the attribute table at the same time and do other stuff. And it's immediate feedback, so you change a color, you don't have to press apply or something. And it also keeps a history, and you can roll back the changes that you did. That was already mentioned by Vincent. There is a multi-attribute search in form view. So you press Control F, and then you can either select features, or you can filter the attribute table. And you can combine with AND and OR. And it's directly in the form view. So you can filter or select by multiple attributes at once. So you have different operators, equal or not equal, or greater or lower than, is not null. And it looks like this. Can I have a pointer here as well? Yeah. No, doesn't work. Anyway, for each field, maybe with the mouse I can. For each field on the right, you can, if you enable that mode, you can type a value or select a value, and then say, select the operator, or say you want to exclude that field from the search. By default, it's excluded already, so. And that makes it very easy to search in multiple attribute columns. And the same is for editing. You can select, I don't know, 20 features, and you want to set some attributes to all of the features. Not all of them, but only some. And here we have several buttons next to each widget. Yellow means that there are different values. Green means all the values are the same of the features. And red means I set a new value just now and I want to apply it to all the features. And of course, I can go back to original values as well. So that's very powerful. And that's the end already. I don't have more time. I could go on for 2 or 3 hours with new features, of course. But I picked just some of my favorites, and of course, that's not all of it, but I'd like to thank all of the organizations that either developed or financed these features. Tim mentioned that the organization QGIS.org has a budget, but of course that's not all what's spent on QGIS, because there are many thousands of euros or dollars spent on that go directly to the development companies. So without that, you wouldn't see all the features that we just showed. And this list is not complete, so bear with me if you're not on that. But it's great to see that there's more and more collaboration between public entities, also companies, individual persons who not only finance, but also help to specify new features or even make a feature request on our list, so that also helps. It doesn't mean it will be implemented, but it at least it's recorded and people can, if they have time or resources, can implement your idea. And of course, I'm here if you, during the day and tomorrow and Hackfest, if you have some questions on the features. And of course, all the developers are here as well. Not all of them, but maybe 70-80% of the developers are here. So that's a good chance if you have some specific question.